Hello and welcome. This is Brother Mike once again at May-21, 2011.com. We're in the book of Revelation, chapter 13, and today we will look at verse 10. That verse reads, "He that leads into captivity shall go into captivity, and he that kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints." As I said, today we will be looking deeper into Revelation chapter 13, verse 10. Last time we looked at verse 9, which read, "If anyone is having an ear, let him or her hear." And we found this not only meant that what is in this context of Revelation chapter 13 regarding the Great Tribulation is not only very important for God's true people to know, but these things written about the Great Tribulation in Revelation chapter 13 also have a deeper spiritual meaning than what just appears on the surface of things, which the Christian churches of today cannot understand for several reasons, but only God's true elect can understand. And since verse 10 of today's study comes directly after that verse, we can expect this verse to be very important with a deeper spiritual meaning for God's true people, consistent with all of Revelation chapter 13 about the Great Tribulation period. We will first look at the first two sentences of Revelation chapter 13, verse 10, which say, "He that leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He that kills with the sword must be killed with the sword," to get a deeper understanding of what is being said to God's true people. Then we will discover how this is all summed up in the last sentence of our verse, which says, "Here is the patience and the faith of the saints," the very title of this study. O God of this universe and all creations that have ever been and shall ever be, shine forth the message you want us to hear in verse 10 of our study. We pray through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, let me read verse 10 of chapter 13 one more time before we begin. It says, "He that leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He that kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints." Let's first more fully consider the first sentence. "He that leads into captivity shall go into captivity." More literally, it reads, "If anyone," and this anyone could be a he, she, or it, depending on the context, "is leading into captivity, he, she, or it is going into captivity." Now, just who he, she, or it is depends upon the context of our verse, and the context of our verse is Revelation chapter 13, wherein we had learned that the beast was released from the bottomless pit on May 21, 1988, to begin the Great Tribulation and to bring God's judgment first against his own church, and it made war against the saints, that is the elect, who were then still in the church, and overcame them, spiritually killing them and completely taking over the whole Christian church worldwide by September 7th of 1994 of the Great Tribulation, to completely rule over them in deception as the counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, also called the man of sin, Satan himself. Thus, the beast led the whole church captive into Satan's own kingdom, Babylon the Great, by September 7 of 1994 of the Great Tribulation, so that all the Christian churches worldwide became known as Babylon the great whore and abominations of the earth ever since then. So, just as Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and his people, the Babylonians, captured and conquered the Old Testament earthly Jerusalem and Judah due to all their sins, and they then led God's people captive into the Old Testament earthly Babylon in 587 BC, so also did Satan, the king of the New Testament Babylon, that is this world, also called the kingdom of Satan, and his counterfeit Christians, the spiritual Babylonians, spiritually capture and conquer the New Testament earthly Jerusalem and Judah, that is the whole Christian church, due to all their sins. And they led God's people captive into the New Testament earthly Babylon the Great, which all the Christian churches worldwide became on September 7th, 1994, when Satan had gained complete rule over them, for judgment had to begin at the house of God. 1 Peter 4:17. So now, when we return to our verse, which states, if anyone, and this anyone could be a he, she, or it, is leading into captivity, he, she, or it is going into captivity. And we ask the question, who is the anyone that was leading into captivity during the Great Tribulation, as described in Revelation chapter 13? We know that the anyone was the beast. Therefore, when our verse says, if anyone is leading into captivity, he, she, or it is going into captivity, we know the anyone is the beast. And so our verse now more accurately reads, if anyone, and that anyone is the beast, is leading into captivity, it, the beast, is going into captivity. The beast is not he or she, but an it. Because remember, the beast consists of Satan, who has no gender, his demons, who have no gender, and both his unsaved male and female counterfeit Christians, and other unsaved male and female people as well. So only the pronoun it can work to describe the beast as a whole. That is, you can't call the beast he, because neither Satan, his demons, nor his unsaved female people are he's. And you can't call the beast she, because neither Satan, his demons, nor his unsaved male people are she's. But you can call the beast an it, because an it gives no reference to gender. Well, there are a couple more things to say about this first sentence of our verse. Namely, if anyone, that is the beast, is leading into captivity, it, that is the beast, is going into captivity. Both the verb, translated is leading, in the first part of the sentence, if anyone, that is the beast, is leading into captivity, and the verb is going, in the second part of the sentence, it is going into captivity, which are actually the exact same verb in the Greek, are in the present tense and active voice of the indicative mood. In the Greek, this means that the action of the verbs is continuous or ongoing, and you can click on present tense to see that. And to show this, our verse can now read, if anyone, that is the beast, is ongoingly leading into captivity, It, that is the beast, is ongoingly going into captivity. Notice that this verse does not say if anyone, that is the beast, is ongoingly leading into captivity, it shall ongoingly be going into captivity, like the King James translates it, as if the beast shall go into captivity at some time in the future after the beast had been leading into captivity. But it says, if anyone, the beast, is ongoingly leading into captivity, it is ongoingly going into captivity at the same time that the beast is ongoingly leading into captivity. So, our verse is not telling us that the beast will go into captivity after it has led the Christian church into captivity during the Great Tribulation from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011. No, rather, at the same time that the beast was and still is leading all the Christian churches worldwide captive, the beast is going into captivity. In other words, at the same time that the beast was leading the church into captivity during the Great Tribulation, the beast itself was also going into captivity, and even to this day. But how can the beast that had been leading the church into captivity during the Great Tribulation and continues to do so even to this day, also itself have had been going into captivity during the Great Tribulation and continues to do so even to this day? Well, as the beast, that is Satan, his demons, and counterfeit Christians, were conquering the church and taking it into captivity, it, the beast, was going into captivity because God's judgment came upon the beast by his having removed his Holy Spirit from the beast in the church, so none of the beast's counterfeit Christians could ever be eternally granted eternal life and salvation in or through any church. Thus, at the same time that the removal of the Holy Spirit in the church permitted the beast to take captive the whole church, beginning at the start of the Great Tribulation on May 21, 1988, and having completed taking over the church by September 7, 1994 of the Great Tribulation, it also brought the beast into captivity, in that the counterfeit Christians of the beast were made captive to having no possibility for eternal life and salvation in or through any church. And Satan and his demons of the beast were also made captive, in that they likely knew as each day of the Great Tribulation went by, their great reign over the church and the world was coming closer and closer to when it would end on May 21, 2011, the beginning of Judgment Day, when also they would be dethroned from any longer ruling over the world and the church. And Christ would begin to reign over Satan and his demons, but with a rod of iron, to use them to bring continued judgment against the church that they once ruled over, and also against the whole world that they once ruled over. So, in this way, as Satan, his demons, and counterfeit Christians, all three of those are known as the beast, led all the Christian churches worldwide into captivity during the Great Tribulation, they themselves went into captivity as well. And now, ever since the beast was dethroned by Christ on May 21, 2011, Christ is ruling with a rod of iron to continue bringing judgment against all the Christian churches worldwide, and now also against the whole world as well, by permitting the beast to continue as he was for a season and time And you can learn more about that in Daniel 7, verse 12, by clicking on the link. That is, until the last day of Judgment Day that we are now in, when the beast, that is Satan, his fallen angels, and all his billions of unsaved peoples in the churches and the world is destroyed forever. So as the beast led the whole church into captivity during the Great Tribulation, it also, at the same time, was being brought into captivity and will finally be utterly destroyed on the last day of Judgment Day that we are now in a just response to, like the beast had utterly spiritually destroyed the whole Christian church. Yes, there will be complete and perfect justice carried out against the beast, who has taken over God's church to make it Babylon the great whore and abominations of the earth. And this justice is what God's true people, the elect, have been patiently waiting for, and what they believe is now taking place. Now let's look at the next sentence of our verse. It reads, "He that kills with the sword must be killed with the sword." More literally, it reads, similar to our previous verse, "If anyone kills with the sword, it must be killed with the sword." And because the verb kills is in the present tense and indicative mood of the Greek, it reveals continuous or ongoing action. So that, to emphasize this, our sentence now can read, "If anyone is ongoingly killing with the sword, it must be killed with the sword." And just as we found previously in the first sentence of our verse, the word "anyone" must refer to the beast in this context. Therefore, the second sentence of our verse now reads, "If anyone," that is the beast, "is ongoingly killing with the sword, it," that is the beast, "must be killed with the sword." Now, how did this second sentence of Revelation 13, verse 10, work out during the Great Tribulation from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011, when Judgment Day began? Indeed, the beast was ongoingly killing the church with the sword during the Great Tribulation. But what was his sword? Well, the Holy Scriptures are clear that the sword is the Word of God itself. For instance, we read in Hebrews 4, verse 12, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." And you can click on Hebrews 4, verse 12 for more info on that verse. And we read in Ephesians 6, 17, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit," that is the Holy Spirit, who is God, "which is the Word of God." Let me read that again. "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit," or we could say the sword of God, "which is the Word of God." So, the sword of God is the Word of God. And we read of Christ in Revelation 1, verse 16, "And he," that is Christ, "had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his," that is Christ's, "mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shines in his strength." And you can click on Revelation 1, verse 16 for more info on that verse. But clearly, the sharp two-edged sword that went out of Christ's mouth are the words which come from His mouth, namely, the Word of God. And when Christ says to the church in Revelation 2:16, "Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth," He obviously means that He will fight against the church with the words which come from His mouth, namely the very Word of God. And you can click on Revelation 2:16 for more information on that verse. Isn't that what has been happening to all the Christian churches worldwide ever since the Great Tribulation began on May 21, 1988? Absolutely. The Word of God is judging the church as we, the elect, declare it. For judgment had to begin at the house of God, 1 Peter 4:17. And isn't Christ during Judgment Day that we are now in speaking the Word of God through His elect to smite the nations as the elect faithfully declare the teachings of Holy Scripture for the latter days? Absolutely. We read in Revelation 19, verse 15, "And out of His," that's Christ's mouth, "goes a sharp sword that with it He should smite," or we could say strike, afflict, or visit with evils, "the nations. And He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and He treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God." And you can click on Revelation 19, verse 15, for more info on that verse. And again, we read about the sword that proceeded out of Christ's mouth, that is the Word of God declared by the elect, by which all the unsaved people in the world and the church were spiritually slain on May 21, 2011, in Revelation 19:21, that you can click on to see, where we read, "And the remnant," better translated, "the rest, were slain with the sword of Him," that is Christ, "that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of His mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh." So with all this, we know for sure that when the second sentence of our verse of study, Revelation 13:10, says, "If anyone," the beast, "is ongoingly killing with the sword, it," the beast, "must be killed with the sword," it means that during the Great Tribulation, the beast was ongoingly spiritually killing the church with the very Word of God. Indeed, Satan and his demons used their false prophets of the counterfeit Christians to declare, apparently from the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures, his counterfeit teachings, practices, and gospels by misusing, abusing, or twisting God's Word in blasphemy against God to lead the whole church, except the elect, who in obedience departed out from all the churches. Satan led the churches on a path to complete spiritual destruction without the church realizing it. Yes, Satan, his demons, even worked through some of the false prophets in the Christian churches to do signs and wonders similar to what Christ had done, or through his apostles and others, to give apparent validity to their counterfeit gospels by seemingly miraculously healing people and apparently even saving people, that is. And many of these false prophets and counterfeit Christians claimed to be receiving direct messages from God apart from the Holy Scriptures in dreams, visions, tongues, voices, words of knowledge or prophecy. And some of them were even making people fall backwards by apparently slaying them in the spirit, like Jesus did to those who came to take him from the Garden of Gethsemane to have him judged and then crucified. As we read in John chapter 18, verses 1 through 6, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kedron, where was a garden, that is the Garden of Gethsemane, into which he entered and his disciples, and Judas also, who betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oftentimes resorted there with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, "Who do you seek?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus says unto them, "I am he." And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon as then as he had said unto them, "I am he," they went backward and fell to the ground. In this account, Christ made them all fall backwards to show that even though they came to him to be judged, he himself was actually the judge and God. And in making them all fall backwards, Christ showed them all that they were judged by God for coming to take him to his death. So by Satan and his demons working through their false prophets to make people fall backwards today, Satan is arrogantly making the statement that he is God and judge. Because like Christ, look, he can also make people fall backwards to seemingly judge them. But what it is really revealing is that those people and churches are under the wrath or judgment of God, not the blessing of God. But anyway, because the beast, Satan, his demons, and counterfeit Christians and prophets, was ongoingly spiritually killing the church with the word of God, the sword, by abusing, misusing, or twisting it through the teachings of the counterfeit Christians and prophets of the beast to have even spiritually killed the two witnesses, that is the elect, in all the Christian churches, by silencing them. And you can read more about that in Revelation 11, 7 through 10 that you can click on. Our verse of Revelation 13, 10 tells us, "For the beast, having ongoingly been killing the church with the sword," which is the word of God, "it must be likewise killed by the sword," which is the word of God. Now, during the time of the Great Tribulation, we already saw how the beast was ongoingly killing the church by silencing the elect therein until they departed out in obedience to Christ, and by leading everyone else who remained in the church astray by using the sword, that is the word of God, in a deceptive way without them even knowing it. But now, how was the beast, who was killing the church by the sword, the word of God, during the Great Tribulation, to be killed itself by the sword during the Great Tribulation? For our verse says, "If anyone," that is the beast, "is ongoingly killing with the sword, it," that is the beast, "must be killed with the sword." Well, remember, one part of the beast is all the counterfeit Christians and prophets. and they were spiritually killed during the Great Tribulation, in that none of them any longer had any possibility to be saved in or through their churches ever since God's judgment began at the house of God on May 21, 1988, to begin the Great Tribulation by removing His Holy Spirit of salvation. The only way the counterfeit Christians in the churches might have been saved during the Great Tribulation was if they had obeyed Christ to come out from their churches and then were saved outside of their churches during the last period that the gospel would ever effectively be sent into the world by God's elect, namely during the latter rain from September 7, 1994 to May 21, 2011 of the Great Tribulation. But when Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011, all the counterfeit Christians and prophets in the churches could not possibly be saved, even outside of their churches, for eternal life and salvation then came to an end for the entire world, like it had already come to an end before, in or through the Christian churches on May 21, 1988. When judgment came upon them. Thus, that one part of the beast in the church during the Great Tribulation, consisting of all the counterfeit Christians and prophets, was completely and spiritually destroyed during the Great Tribulation by the time when Judgment Day began. For virtually none of them came out of the church to be saved. And ever since then, that entire one part of the beast, the counterfeit Christians and prophets in the church, has been absolutely destined to now be completely destroyed on the relatively soon to come last day of Judgment Day that we are now in. Therefore, that one part of the beast, which was ongoingly killing all the Christian churches worldwide during the Great Tribulation, and which also spiritually killed the elect of the churches during the Great Tribulation, namely all the counterfeit Christians and prophets of Satan and his demons, they too were spiritually killed during the Great Tribulation, and even to this very day. And they will also be physically killed on the last day of Judgment Day that we are now in, for the wages of sin is death. Romans 6, verse 23. But what happened to the other part of the beast? I'm speaking about Satan and his demons or fallen angels. What happened to them during the Great Tribulation? Well, they also were spiritually killed, but at the very end of the Great Tribulation on May 21, 2011, when they were dethroned by Christ himself from any longer ruling over both the church and the world. Nevertheless, as Christ now rules with a rod of iron by continuing to bring his judgment against all the Christian churches worldwide, the whole corporate church, and now the whole church as well, or the whole world as well, that is, ever since Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011, he is using the dethroned devil and his demons to bring it all about, who are more angry with God than ever. And they have gone mad to seek to destroy everything that reeks of God, knowing they will soon be completely destroyed forever on the last day of Judgment Day that we are now in. Satan and his demons know they cannot win. They absolutely know that now. But they have gone crazy to do everything they can to get back at God on their way out, so to speak. for having been cast out of heaven at the cross, and then for having been spiritually dethroned by Christ at the beginning of Judgment Day on May 21, 2011, from their great rule over the whole church and the whole world during the Great Tribulation. This explains why evil and demonic activity in the world has been quickly multiplying. Woe to the whole church and the world, for Satan has been forever dethroned, and he is so mad or crazy to destroy all the things of God. Indeed, the entire beast was cast into the spiritual fires when Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011, and it is now being burned up by the spiritual fire and brimstone from the Word of God being declared against them by the elect, that no one else can any longer be granted eternal life and salvation. And Satan, his demons, and all his billions of unsaved people now filling the Christian churches worldwide and the world are being spiritually burned up until when on the last day of Judgment Day that we are now in, they will all be literally burned up and annihilated forevermore. Then God will create a new incorruptible and eternal heaven and earth from what remains of this earth, where his elect, the saints, will dwell forever in their new incorruptible and eternal bodies to serve, worship, and enjoy Christ, their King, in glory with him forever. There shall no longer be any sorrows, sufferings, pains, or deaths, and all the former of these awful things shall no longer be remembered. But the saved loved ones and brethren will all be reunited in joy unspeakable. As we read in 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18, but I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that is, those beloved ones who have already passed on, who were true believers, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ, that is those believers who have already passed on, shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. But now, to bring the study toward its end, strangely, after having gotten a better idea of what our verse, Revelation 13:10, is saying when it declares, if anyone, that is the beast, is ongoingly leading into captivity, it, that is the beast, is ongoingly going into captivity, if anyone, that is the beast, is ongoingly killing with the sword, it, that is, the beast must be killed with the sword. We then read, here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Why can these things that took place during the Great Tribulation from May 21, 1988 to when Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011 and on into Judgment Day itself be the patience and the faith of the saints? It is perhaps easier to see why it is the faith of the saints, that is, of the elect, because the Holy Scriptures are what circumscribe or describe our faith. And what happened during the Great Tribulation and on into Judgment Day is described by the Holy Scriptures in that they tell us that the beast did and will not escape his due punishment for having taken captive the Christian churches and having been spiritually killing the church and the elect by the sword, that is the Word of God, during the Great Tribulation. But in fact, the beast was punished by being taken captive itself and being spiritually killed by the sword, that is, by the Word of God, on into Judgment Day. So the beast led the church into captivity and killed with the Word of God. Therefore, the beast was taken into captivity and killed by the Word of God. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Justice was and continues to be meted out. And this is the faith of the saints, the elect. In other words, the faith of God's people is that Satan and all his gang, both celestial and not, that make up the beast, would one day be justly punished for all the evil they have brought about both in the church and the world. And indeed, that day of justice did begin with the house of God, beginning on May 21, 1988, and has continued to this very day until the last day of the day of justice is fully meted out by Satan and all his gang being completely annihilated forever. This has always been taught in God's holy word, and so as this justice has actually been taking place during the Great Tribulation before our eyes, on into and through the many days of Judgment Day that we are now in, God says, here is the faith of the saints. But God did not just say, here is the faith of the saints. But he said, here is the patience and faith of the saints. So what does he mean by here is the patience of the saints? Certainly, one thing that it means is the patience of the saints is tied into the justice of God. Because God's true people have faith that God is fulfilling his plan of justice during the Great Tribulation and on into Judgment Day, because God's holy word teaches this, they can also have great patience, knowing that God is working out perfect justice in his judgment plan for the end of the world. This does not mean that the patience of the saints has been easy, for we, the saints and the elect of God, know it has been very difficult and will likely become even more difficult as we get closer to the end. We would have liked for this world to have ended many years ago, and the trials and tribulations that we have had and continue to endure have been great. And unfortunately, many who once stood steadfast in patience with us have denied the faith and either returned to the church or the world to reveal that they were not really of us. There has been a lot of pain, sorrow, sadness, and death. But because we know by faith in what his Word teaches that God is working all things out with perfect justice, and we know by faith in what His Word teaches that God is in perfect control, that nothing takes place without His permission, and He eternally loves us like His own body that we are, we have been being patient through the great tribulation and now through Judgment Day itself as well. And we will be patient right up to the very end because our God's judgment plan for justice is perfect. Not only for Satan and his gang, but for us as well. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. Now, until the next time, may Yahweh bless thee and keep thee. Yahweh make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Yahweh lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.